and you can do only so much before you short-circuit. Saying no takes practice. You'll have to accept that you may not always be the most liked or most valued, but in the long run, those who really count will see that it's a strategic part of a self-care regimen and won't take it personally. The pervasive overcommitting that plagues our society is not without consequence. Add rest to your well-being to-do list. Today, we're busy to an almost pathological degree, filling our days to the brim, filling our minds with news and ideas, and filling multiple roles at once, both at work and at home, in ways our predecessors never did. This non-stop striving and doing is representative of our decidedly yang culture, one that prides going, producing, succeeding, and forcing over softer, slower, more internal yin qualities like resting, receiving, and restoring. To live in harmony as a society and in our own bodies, we must strike a balance between the two, just like the yin-yang symbol itself. In a time when a fundamental biological need like sleep is often pushed to the bottom of our priority list, the idea of blocking out a period of rest during the day can seem downright preposterous, consciously slowing down to give the body an opportunity to renew and recharge may be unheard of in today's go-go-go society. But intentional rest is the essential counterbalance to all of this action. Most people view rest as a luxury they can't afford, or something reserved for the lazy or unambitious. But slowing down, whether through self-care rituals like taking a bath, attending a yoga class, or walking in nature, or by planning regular vacations, is an essential part of a balanced system of health and well-being. I found that it helps the buzzing Western mind to frame this downtime as deliberate rest. You're not doing nothing when you give yourself a restorative break. You're giving your body a chance to rebuild resilience, return to homeostasis, and get back in tune with its natural rhythms. Deliberate rest is not empty, wasted time. On the contrary, these restorative pockets allow you to refuel and prepare for the next burst of productivity and avoid falling into the trap of another of our modern conditions, burnout. If you view your life as a trampoline, periods of conscious rest are like the moment before you're launched back into the air. What goes up must come down. Rest doesn't look one particular way, and what may feel restorative to one person may feel jarring to another. You may choose to meditate, knit, hike, or spend time with a close friend. The only guidelines to consider when factoring deliberate rest into your life are to stick to your commitment to give yourself this downtime, as it can be all too easy to push it aside for other obligations, and to make an effort to truly give your mind and body a break. For many, this will mean dropping all devices. Real downtime won't come from cruising Tumblr or binging on Netflix shows. When you are subjected to ongoing mental and physical demands, but deprived of rest and recovery, your whole nervous system takes a toll. You're not doing nothing when you give yourself a restorative break. You're giving your body a chance to rebuild resilience, return to homeostasis, and get back in tune with its natural rhythms. How to rest. It may seem strange, but many of us need to learn or relearn how to rest. The first step is factoring rest into your day. Like most things that you want to accomplish, you'll have to plan your period of rest. As you review your day in the morning, see where you can add in at least 10 minutes of deliberate rest. This can be a short walk outside, a brief meditation, or a breathing exercise. Consider the four types of active rest, as opposed to sleep, which is passive rest, as defined by Matthew Edlund, MD, in his book, The Power of Rest. Physical rest, breathing techniques, restorative yoga, taking a hot bath. Mental rest, meditation, visualizations, mindful walking in nature, listening to music. Social rest, spending time with people who make you feel good. Spiritual rest, prayer, spending time in nature, connecting with things greater than yourself. Take a moment to see which category you do the least, and think about how and where you could drop a few moments of this into your day today and every day this week. Give yourself a massage. Self-massage is a simple and impactful act of self-care that is affordable, doable, and deeply restorative. I'm partial to Abhyanga, which is an Ayurvedic oil massage. This ancient stress-relieving treatment doubles as an easy act of mindfulness. You can practice becoming deeply present with a sensory experience of touch on your body. Abhyanga also brings mental, emotional, and physical balance. Regular practice can improve muscle tone, increase circulation, calm the nervous system, and assist the lymph in detoxification. It's considered a purifying treatment in India. It uses long fluid strokes that are said to activate and clear the energy meridians of the body. And the abundance of warm oils has a grounding and lubricating effect, similar to eating healthy fats and oils, which is why it also feels so good. You can use warm sesame, almond or coconut oil. Pick the best quality you can, as, in a sense, your skin eats the oils. In summer, coconut has a cooling effect. In fall and winter, sesame has a warming effect. A practice of Abhyanga can help connect you to the seasons. In particular, it can balance out the raw, edgy sensations you can feel at the onset of cold, windy weather, helping you feel more nurtured and grounded. Learning your dominant dosha or energy type can help you pick the oil that suits you best for the most effective soothing. Dosha quizzes are easy to find online. The key, according to Ayurvedic teaching, is to leave the oil on for at least 7.5 minutes so it can saturate the skin. Meditation, mindfulness, breath work, and soothing touch are not luxurious extras. They are daily essentials for managing imbalance and maintaining the body's healing power. Here's how to give yourself an Abhyanga massage. Step 1. Warm the oil by running hot water over the bottle, if plastic, or setting it in a pan of hot water, if glass. Test the temperature on your inner wrist. It should be pleasingly warm, not hot. Step 2. Pour a quarter-sized amount of oil into your palm and apply it to the crown of your head. Using circular strokes, massage your entire scalp. Then using a circular motion, massage your face, using an upward motion across your forehead, temples, cheeks, jaws, ears, and earlobes. Step 3. Move to your arms and legs, adding more oil as needed, and using long upward strokes. Always in the direction of your heart. Use a circular motion on your elbows and knees. 4. Move to your belly. Massage along the path of your large intestine, moving in circular strokes up the right side of your abdomen, across it, and down the left side. Then focusing your touch on the circle immediately around the navel, where tension is often stored. You can use both hands to stroke your sides and lower back too. Then massage your chest in large circular strokes. Step 5. Finally, massage each foot for a few dedicated minutes, getting into the soles and each of the toes. Step 6. Leave the oil on your body for up to 15 minutes so it can sink in. Use this time to meditate or deeply relax. Then take a warm bath or shower without scrubbing and soaping or over-shampooing your hair. Afterward, towel dry gently. Note, if you don't have time to give yourself the full body treatment, focus on your scalp, ears, navel, palms, and the soles of your feet. Get handy. When was the last time you made something with your hands? We are sensory beings, naturally, designed to use our eyes and our hands to create. But as we age, we get further away from the free form finger painting and crayon drawings of our youth and deeper into our own heads. Most adults live entirely in the world of the mind, forgetting how good it feels to get messy and creative by drawing, sculpting or sewing. Getting crafty isn't only fun and satisfying. It feels great to make something out of nothing. It has health benefits as well. Studies are finding a direct link between artistic activities and reduced levels of cortisol, the stress hormone. Some crafting activities can be calming, meditative even, and may launch you into an entirely different mental space, where creativity flows and perfection takes a back seat. Doing something with your hands can also free up your mind to focus. Many people knit while listening to lectures or watching informative videos. Creative pursuits can also have a community aspect. Knitting and sewing circles abound, as activities that were once reserved for your grandma are experiencing a renaissance as younger generations tap into the pleasure of DIY endeavors. This is seen in the explosion of Etsy's handcrafted online shops and the ever-expanding maker movement, where it is extremely cool to fabricate your own robots, machines, and board games. There are even places like DIY Bar in Portland, Oregon, where you can sip craft beers and meet new people while tackling leatherworking and jewelry-making projects. You don't have to have prior experience or genuine artistic talent to tap into the benefits of artistic expression, and there are many different avenues to pursue. The next time you feel the need to decompress and long to create something that's entirely yours, check out these easy crafting ideas. You can find instructions online. YouTube is particularly helpful. 1. Make homemade Play-Doh. 2. Knit a scarf or a hat. 3. Create a simple quilt. 4. Dig into adult coloring books. There are incredibly detailed and dynamic options available today. 5. Get messy with a finger painting session. 6. Practice origami. YouTube is a wonderful resource for the beginning paper sculptor. 7. Turn on your inner architect with an ice pop stick house. 8. Design a customized mobile using sticks, twine, rocks, feathers, leaves, or anything else that strikes your fancy. 9. Use Pinterest to ignite some paper chain inspiration. They can be more sophisticated than you think. 10. Collect sand at your next beach visit. Tint it with vibrant colors and layer it in glass bottles for beautiful sand art. Once a habit is developed, it works effortlessly for you, partly because the brain loves habits. When lifestyle choices become habitual, they are automatic. Smile, laugh, repeat. You make an effort to include exercise and vegetables into your daily life, but do you make sure to include laughter too? Regular chuckles really are great medicine, helping to lower blood pressure and cortisol levels, decrease pain, and stabilize blood sugar. Researchers have also found that laughter stimulates chemical changes in the brain that help protect us against the harmful effects of chronic stress. When you laugh, you're stimulating the release of endorphins, the happy brain chemicals that are released after a good workout. Giggles also help reduce inflammation, release tension in the muscles of the face, neck, shoulders, and abdomen, and fight viruses and tumors by giving the immune system a welcome boost. You'll even rev your metabolism with a few minutes of joyful guffaws. It's like taking your medicine, only funnier. You can factor laughter into your day by listening to stand-up comedy or a funny podcast in your kitchen as you prep food and then clean all the dishes. Or on your commute, invite a friend or loved one to share a half hour of a laugh-inducing show. Comedic news shows fronted by hosts like John Oliver, Stephen Colbert, Trevor Noah and Samantha Bee have a knack for finding the funny in increasingly disheartening times. Even just a skit or two from Saturday Night Live or Funny or Die can punctuate your day with a humorous exclamation point. Just resist the temptation to watch this stuff in the wee hours. Catch up on what you missed the next day so you don't disrupt your sleep. When it comes to getting a daily dose of laughter, podcasts give you an array and diversity of talent that exceeds anything network and cable networks can offer, especially given that you can get your laughs from around the globe. Find a few voices you click with and subscribe to their podcasts, and they will keep you regularly updated with new episodes. From the cult favorite TV recap show, Bitch Sesh, or unconventional chat shows with special guest Lauren Lapkus, WTF with Mark Maron, Anna Faris is Unqualified, and Two Dope Queens, to the freeform style, Improv for Humans, and comedian meetup, Don't Get Me Started, and many, many more. Once you start looking, you can curate a humor fix that fits your personal funny bone. Open the gates to tranquility. Three yoga poses to calm and restore. Yoga can strengthen and energize. It can also be an effective route to a quieter mind and a calmer nervous system. You don't have to be an experienced yogi or in top physical form to tap into the benefits of yoga's gentler side. Yin yoga or restorative yoga can be utilized by those at all fitness levels to reset and recalibrate the body, mind, and spirit. This is not the fast-paced yoga that you see in typical hatha or vinyasa classes, where you bop between poses with a mere breath between each. Restorative poses are designed to be held for longer periods of time, to allow your muscles to soften and your busy mind to become still. Simple props like bolsters, blankets, blocks, or a chair support you while you let go of tension held deep within the musculoskeletal system. They mold you into shapes that open up space within your body. Lying over a bolster, for instance, benefits the lungs and heart. In addition, props help you remain in a pose long enough for the benefits to take effect and your mind to begin to slow and quiet. This slower-paced yoga triggers the parasympathetic nervous system, causing your fight-or-flight stress response, the same reaction you'd have to seeing a bear in the woods, to fall away. In this tension-free place, you'll experience an expansiveness that will allow you to let go. Your muscles soften, your breathing slows, and your bones release at the joints. When you transition, slowly, deliberately, out of each posture and into the next, you'll have a newfound sense of how your body moves. Three simple restorative yoga poses. Setting up each restorative pose is a key part of this practice. The idea is to design the ultimate support system for full release. Chair, cross-legged, forward bend. Benefits. This modified forward bend allows you to reap the benefits of the pose without overextending your hamstrings or lower back. It releases tension in the shoulders and neck while calming the nerves and reducing stress. Sit cross-legged on a bolster or two folded blankets with a chair in front of you. Place a folded blanket on the chair seat. Extend forward and rest your forehead on the chair. Fold your arms and place them on the chair seat above your head. Hold the pose for 5 to 10 minutes, reversing the cross of your legs halfway through. Reclining cross-legged pose. Benefits. This pose gives a gentle stretch to the inner thighs, groin, and knees, stimulates the heart and improves circulation, and helps reduce stress, mild depression, and the uncomfortable symptoms of menstruation and menopause. Sit cross-legged and place a bolster or three firmly folded blankets vertically behind you, a few inches away from your sacrum. If you are using a yoga mat, this support will run vertically up the center. Lie back onto it and place a large blanket folded in thirds under your head to support it. Your head should be higher than your heart and tilted so that your chin is lower than your forehead. The body is in a gentle sloping position in this pose, with the head above the heart and the heart above the pelvis. If your hips are tight, place folded blankets under each thigh so you can fully sink into the pose. with no pulling on your inner thighs. Let your arms fall outward at the sides of your body, with the backs of your hands resting lightly on the floor. When you have found the right combination of support, you will be able to easily relax your face and throat and feel as if you are safely held. Notice your breath as it moves in and out of your lungs. Remain in the pose for 10 minutes, changing the cross of the legs halfway through. Inversion, legs up the wall. Benefits. This pose is especially wonderful if you've been on your feet for hours. It helps relieve swollen ankles and varicose veins, reduces mild back pain, zaps anxiety, and even helps alleviate mild depression and insomnia. Turning upside down is a wonderful way to reboot and recharge. Place the short side of a yoga mat against a wall, then put a bolster or three firmly folded blankets on the mat a few inches from the wall. Kneel to the side of the mat, facing away from the wall. Lean sideways over the bolster. Pivot your hips and swing your legs up the wall. Rest your pelvis on the bolster and your sit bones and heels against the wall. The back of your head and the tops of your shoulders should be sinking into the mat while you hold up your legs vertically. Your arms should be turned out at the sockets, resting comfortably at your sides with your hands and wrists relaxed. Feel your lumbar spine releasing and spreading from the center to the sides. Soften the sockets of your eyes, feeling the body release tension from the skull down to the heart. Remain in the pose for 5 to 15 minutes. When you are ready to come out of the pose, bend your legs and push your feet against the wall to slide off the bolster. Then bend your knees to your chest and roll over onto your right side, before slowly pushing yourself up, rolling your head up at last. Restorative poses are designed to be held for longer periods of time, to allow your muscles to soften and your busy mind to become still. Let go and forgive. Though holding grudges is rarely included in a list of possible factors contributing to compromised health, I believe that stockpiling emotional pain can have a serious impact on our well-being. And I'm not alone. Doctors at the Mood Disorders Adult Consultation Clinic at the Johns Hopkins Hospital have found that there's a direct correlation between the hurt and disappointment we carry and our state of wellness. Emotions like anger and resentment trigger our fight-or-flight response, activating changes in our heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. Forgiveness, on the other hand, reduces stress and anxiety and calms the nervous system, which can help us remain healthy. For me, the essential role that forgiveness plays in our human experience rose to the surface after I had the great honor of meeting Archbishop Desmond Tutu. I believe he is the human representation of forgiveness, and our conversations have remained with me to this day. He explained that forgiveness is not about disregarding the offense you experienced at the hand of another, but about liberating yourself from the steely grip of anger. The Archbishop reminded me that when you forgive, you are liberating yourself from the rage or resentment churning within you. In forgiving, you release yourself. Forgiveness is a process that won't happen overnight. The journey begins by first allowing yourself to fully feel your pain. Reaching out to a friend or therapist can help give your hurt space to move through you. Then, when you feel ready, you can start to flip your perspective by imagining what it would feel like to be the person who hurt you. How had his or her life unfolded up to the point of the pain? In doing this, you are not exonerating their actions. You are simply trying to connect to their experience as another human being. This may lead you to compassion and then to forgiveness. Forgiving yourself is also essential. We all make mistakes, even big ones. In fact, mistakes are the primary way we learn. So consider your errors part of your education in becoming a better human being. And take special note of what some Buddhists call the second arrow, that extra poke we give ourselves after messing up. The mistake was enough. Don't add to your pain by also pointing a second arrow at your heart. A new approach to letting go. The practice of radical honesty is a communication technique designed to promote authenticity, intimacy, and personal growth, and that can help you move beyond past hurts and create a healthier way through conflict. It sees honesty as key to both intimacy and forgiveness, because real connection is based on honestly sharing what is true for you. Honesty Lab, a new facilitator of this well-known practice, offers in-person workshops around the country, as well as online courses and remote coaching. Says founder John Rosanier, there is a difference between full-bodied forgiveness and mental forgiveness. The first is an experience of actual change and release in the body that brings about a wave of actual forgiveness and appreciation. Sensations in the body change, and when they do, thoughts change. The second is what most people mean by forgiveness, which is a willed mental act. You should forgive your parents so you can move on. The first is very powerful and rooted in honesty. The second is play acting. Discover more about them at honestylab.com. Play footsie with a tennis ball. If you have access to a tennis ball, you have access to one of the easiest methods of tension release available. Our feet have a big job to do, carrying us where we need to go, often in shoes that are not the best fit for the task. Giving them a bit of focused attention for 5 to 10 minutes a day can have effects that ripple out to the rest of the body, and you can do it anywhere, like under your desk at work or while standing at the kitchen counter prepping dinner. Rolling a tennis ball under each foot is a direct route to a targeted fascia release. It's a simple acupressure technique that releases tight muscles and fascia in the feet, which reduces strain and pressure on the toes and toe joints, which in turn improves balance and stimulates stress relief and well-being throughout the entire body. Notice how just 3 to 5 minutes of rolling allows your heart rate to slow, your breath to open, and a satisfying stillness to take over. Here's how to do it. Step 1. Stand on a surface with a bit of friction, like a carpeted floor or yoga mat. Place a tennis ball under the arch of 1 foot and ease the weight of your body onto the ball. Step 2. Alternate slowly flexing your toes over the ball and then clenching them like a fist. Repeat 5 times, then move the ball to a different part of your foot. Step 3. When you find a tender spot on your foot, apply as much pressure as you can handle and hold for a few seconds. Then find the next area of tenderness and hold. Continue until you have visited every area of your foot. Step 4. After you finish the first foot, stand with both feet on the floor and note the difference between them. It should be notable. Switch to the other foot and repeat. Note, this process will be painful in spots. This is normal. But if you feel pain that is particularly sharp, move to another area. Sexual healing. Sex is one of the most effective and free wellness techniques available to humankind, often overlooked or forgotten, especially as we get older. The simple act of pleasure has an ever-growing lineup of health benefits that's difficult to ignore. Yet pushing sex to the top of your priority list can feel challenging. If you, like many modern humans, feel like your sex drive has slumped, the first thing to look at is sleep deprivation. Lack of sleep is the biggest passion killer out there, because from your body's point of view, when you're deprived of the energy necessary for survival tasks, non-essential extras like pleasurable sex get the back seat. Conversely, when you're deeply rested, your desire and orgasmic potential typically surge. The second area to look at is movement. Find a movement practice that moves you, and notice how it wakes up a new sensitivity to your body and its healthful urges. The third area is your own tendency to prioritize productivity over intimacy and sensuality. Only you can reevaluate that. But I encourage you to push past the intoxicating pill of to-dos and make time for sex, whether the kind with a partner or solo self-enjoyment. Do it regularly, and you'll find that your relationship or sense of self-love becomes stronger, your skin brighter, and your disposition sunnier. You'll be healthier and happier. Sex is stress-reducing. Angry, anxious, worried, or overwhelmed? Channel that restless mental energy into something more positive. Boudoir play. Chances are high you'll feel better on the other side. Immune enhancing. Nookie on the regular helps keep your immune system in tip-top shape. Notice that those who get some often are rarely sniffling and sneezing. Energy burning. An average romp is comparable to a modest workout on a treadmill, and it's a lot more fun. Sleep supporting. A good session will trigger your sleep-inducing endorphins that will carry you off to dreamland. Incontinence busting. Sex tones the pelvic muscles that support your uterus, bladder, and bowels, leading to better urinary control. Age defying. Trade the Botox for some booty. An active sex life promotes the release of hormones like testosterone and estrogen, which slows the aging process and keeps the body looking young and vital. Regular sex also gives your skin a healthy glow that will last way beyond the post-coital cuddle by increasing blood circulation, which pumps more oxygen to the skin, resulting in a brighter appearance. Sex also boosts our natural collagen production, which helps to prevent age spots and sagging. Pain relieving. You might change "not tonight, honey, I have a headache" to "yes tonight, honey, I have a headache." The hormone, oxytocin, is secreted in your body through sexual arousal and orgasm, which in turn causes the release of endorphins that act as a powerful analgesic. Confidence boosting. When you show up in the bedroom, it's easier to show up for the rest of your life. Pleasing your partner while also having your own desires fulfilled is a surefire method of increasing your self-esteem. You can then bring that mojo to client meetings, creative undertakings, and interactions with family and friends. Happy making. Sex makes you happier than having money. According to a recent study by the National Bureau of Economic Research, a marriage that included regular humping was figured to bring the same levels of happiness as earning an extra $100,000 annually. Advice on making sex a better experience is in no shortage if you subscribe to glossy magazines, but there are other ways to get information. One of these is omgyes.com, a refreshingly frank and informative website devoted to the science of pleasure. It empowers women and their partners with pragmatic knowledge about achieving and enhancing orgasm. If you feel like your sex drive has slumped, the first thing to look at is sleep deprivation. Connect. For eons, humans lived in a web of connectivity. We were connected to nature for the resources of food and shelter, to the seasons and weather, which dictated daily activities, and most of all, to each other, as we lived in interdependent groups in which every member played an important role. Though existence was far from easy, often it was brutal and harsh, our physiology evolved in response to cues from nature, and our perspective was shaped by knowing our place in the world. Today, the pendulum has swung to the other extreme. We live with fierce independence, cut off from extended family, insulated from wilderness, and short of leisure time for friends. Sprawling towns can make community harder to find. And despite the noise of constant communication, intimacy in a time of fractured attention spans can be fleeting. It used to be the elderly who were at risk of loneliness and decline. But now age is no barrier. You can be young and lonely, or in midlife and struggling to find meaning. And while Western medicine tends to brush off these considerations as minor, I see them as crucial to good health, Invisible things like bonded relationships, a sense of purpose, and a feeling of belonging are as influential as anything you can measure or test in a lab. They instill security, confidence, and a healthy sense of self. Qualities that are cornerstones of resilient well-being and give greater immunity to disease and the many expressions of stress. There are three ropes of connection that help to anchor you in a meaningful life. Relationship to the natural world, the macrocosm that contains you. Relationships with a few people who know you well and see you for who you are. And the relationship with your own emotional terrain, with all its ebbs and flows. Use the actions in this ring to enliven these three ropes. Then they will be there for you, holding you securely in moments of challenge and ease alike. Love a pet. Woof, or if you prefer, meow. Having an animal friend may do more for you than any superfood ever could. In study after study, pet owners are healthier and happier than non-pet owners. Caring for a pet delivers multidimensional health-boosting effects, lowering stress and boosting cardiovascular health, while ensuring you get out for exercise, rain or shine. Less so for a cat, obviously. Most important, tending to the needs of an animal pays back with an experience of secure attachment to another. It is a relationship of interdependence and unconditional love that nurtures your sense of belonging and feeds your sense of purpose, day in and day out. Getting a pet is nothing to take lightly. They require your commitment, devotion, playtime, and for the canine kind, several walks on a daily basis, not to mention food and vet visits. But when it comes to the health of your body, heart and spirit, what you get in return is priceless. If you can't own a pet, to get a dose of four-footed love in your life, consider volunteering at shelters, fostering for short amounts of time, or offering to walk or care for friends' pets. Pair up with an animal in need through adoptapet.com, adoptadog.org, or petfinder.com. Go wild, or at least get outside. When we recognize the virtues, the talent, the beauty of Mother Earth, something is born in us, some kind of connection. Love is born. Thich Nhat Hanh. Consider this your prescription for parks, or trailheads, lakes, or meadows. Spending intentional time in verdant surroundings restores something of your original human condition. A calm body with an optimized immune system, and a brain in a state of restful awareness, alert to surroundings, but unencumbered by constant thought. Nature helps you find this state by waking up the five senses. It gently feeds your eyes and ears with stimulation that invites your touch and arouses the olfactory system, so much so that one leading researcher in the field of nature therapy believes that the aromatic chemicals released by pine trees are responsible for turning on the powerfully anti-cancer killer cells of your immune system. Allowing yourself moments in nature when you fully absorb its atmosphere, sense by sense, has the tremendous effect of rejuvenating the parts of yourself that get dulled and squelched by everyday demands. It brings you back to yourself. The Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health found that adults spend an average of only 5% of their day outside. Getting into green space, daily if possible, and definitely every week, is as vitally important as eating your greens. In Japan and South Korea, formalized wellness practices exist around these principles. For example, the Japanese practice of Shinrin-yoku translates as forest bathing, and involves quietly immersing oneself in the sensory atmosphere of trees to restore well-being and soothe a harried mind. Part physical activity, part natural therapy, it's a powerful and low-cost intervention, and no, you don't have to be naked for this kind of bathing. Doing nothing in nature but being present to the experience initiates a cascade of beneficial effects. The parasympathetic nervous system switches on. Cortisol drops, and the brain's prefrontal cortex, your hard driving command center takes a break as you drift into a soft focus state of awareness. This allows you to shift from information overload to a state of pleasure, let go of negative thought cycles, rejuvenate your mental energy, and even access a wellspring of creativity and concentration. It's been observed that empathy and altruism also increase after gazing at natural sights. This boost might get even better if you get dirt between your toes. A recent study showed how a strain of soil bacteria increased serotonin, a powerful mood-boosting chemical in mice, suggesting that touching soil itself might be a factor in elevating mood. Today, ecotherapy practitioners in the US are harnessing this potential and using exposure to nature as an alternative therapy for physical and mental suffering, one that is low cost, has no side effects, and often leads to greater social connectivity, as kindred spirits literally cross paths in a park or on a trail. As for how much nature is necessary to reap the most benefits, Finnish researchers developing antidotes to depression prescribe several short immersions per week, with a 40-minute walk showing significant benefits to state of mind. Meanwhile, trained forest therapy guides in the US recommend 7 contemplative walks in 7 weeks to begin your own nature therapy practice. But rejuvenation can also be as simple as a lunch break on a bench in a botanical garden, or lounging in a park looking at puffy clouds, 2 options for time-pressed urbanites. For the fullest benefits, let iconic nature writer Edward Abbey be your inspiration. He said, "Wilderness is not a luxury, but a necessity of the human spirit." Venturing beyond everyday boundaries and entering unexplored wilderness is the deepest form of nature refreshment. One study showed a 50% increase in mental performance after 3 days of backpacking. And it also seems to deliver the most transcendent effect. Wilderness enlivens your very essence when you feel dulled or disenchanted, and reminds you that you are as much a part of the cosmos as the sun, moon, and stars. How to get your green on. Get on trails with community groups like Hike It Baby, which organizes free group hikes for parents and caregivers with children. Sierra Club, Outdoor Afro, Latino Outdoors, and the Natural Leaders Network. Participate in Shindin-Yoku sessions in the US, with guides listed at natureandforesttherapy.org. Volunteer in an urban food garden. Join a birdwatching club. Get involved with an environmental activism and cleanup group, or join a naturalist-led hike or herb walk in your area. Go camping in beautiful and unique locations using hipcamp.com, or camp in comfort with tentrr.com, which offers canvas tents on platforms. Commit daily random acts of kindness. Say a meaningful thank you to the conductor on the train. Let that other driver cut in front of you with a cheery wave. Check in on your elderly neighbor and share a coffee and a laugh. Small acts of kindness are more than just a boon to the recipient. They create a momentary connection between you and the world at large, an instant of intimacy that supports you while bestowing compassion on another. When you are kind to another person with no expectations of anything in return, you experience the helper's high. The pleasure and reward centers of your brain light up as if you received the good deed. Your levels of serotonin rise and cortisol goes down, as does your blood pressure, thanks to the secretion of oxytocin, the love and bonding chemical, which also protects your heart by supporting your cardiovascular system. And your body makes endorphins, the natural painkiller. If you tend toward anxiety, choosing to do a kind act every day has been shown to help. Your mood becomes more positive. Your confidence increases, and you feel more satisfied in life. You might get an energy boost too, a newfound sense of strength and empowerment. Perhaps the biggest benefit of kindness is that it can shift you out of a single point perspective, in which it's easy to be consumed by personal problems and obstacles, into a shared experience of life. For that moment, or few minutes, you remember that we're all in it together. Kindness is a universal language that crosses perceived boundaries and divides, and it's one of the easiest things to exchange. No backstory, explanation, or complex social dance required. It also becomes your teacher. When you commit an act of kindness, you are not thinking about the past or worrying about the future. Right now fills your awareness and anchors you to the present. Furthermore, with your kindness, you show another person that they've been seen. You affirm they belong here, which, even if your intention was just to make a cup of tea, is a powerful gesture in a time when loneliness is rampant. Compassion and mindfulness go hand in hand. Make a daily act of unsolicited kindness a health habit. The scale of the act doesn't matter. Surprise someone with an authentic compliment about how they handled something. Listen closely to an acquaintance who's in need of being heard. Lend a hand to someone you don't normally spend time with. Or simply smile and make eye contact, even if you don't feel like it. Do something anonymous and unexpected, like paying the toll of the person behind you, or pick up trash when you see it. An act of kindness to your community and the environment. Kindness is a muscle you can start to flex, and that grows the more you use it. It's also contagious, as witnessing acts of kindness stimulates feel-good chemistry in others and inspires similar acts. One random act of kindness at a time, we help each other become more present and connected to each other, and healthier too. Make a daily act of unsolicited kindness a health habit. Gather, eat, commune. Gathering around a table to share food with others is a simple but profound act. You may already do it, unconsciously eating your meals with family members or colleagues at work. Or you may consume most of your daily sustenance alone, quickly, while standing at the counter or working at your desk. Either way, starting to bring awareness not only to what you eat, but how and with whom you eat, is an essential aspect of a well-rounded and happy life. Since the beginning of time, cooking and eating food with others was an established part of everyday living. Whether it was hunting that evening's meal, preparing and placing it on the fire, and then consuming it as a tribe, or chopping vegetables and meat in the kitchen with siblings, parents and grandparents, and then sharing the soup, sauce or stew as a family, we are designed to break bread together. Yet sadly, in this era of constant overworking and hyperconnectivity, meals have been pushed to the sidelines, replaced instead by survivalist eating. Sandwiches scarfed in the car, smoothies slurped while racing down the sidewalk, lunches and dinners consumed in front of the computer, TV or phone. As the family meal fades away, gone with it is the human warmth, joy and connection that comes from cooking together and sharing food, as well as a balanced and healthy relationship to eating. It's easy to care less about what you're putting into your body when nobody else is watching. Whether you're the head of a bustling household or you live alone, making time to sit down, the sitting down part is key, and share a meal with others on a regular basis will inevitably lead to more peace, stability, and smiles. Human beings are the only animals that ritualize eating and consider the hunger of those who are not family members. And the table is our canvas for this species-specific adaptation. The mealtime table was once the heart of the household, where relatives young and old gathered to connect over the most primal of human needs, feeding ourselves. The table still plays an essential role, if we choose to use it. The simple, flat surface not only holds the food that keeps us fed and nourished, and pleasured when it's delicious, but it also serves as an anchor for our experience as a collective and as individuals. Eating together around the table gives us a set period to check in with each other, serving as a reliable touchstone that adds shape and boundaries to our day and providing space for us to do some necessary downloading. The simple question, "How was your day?" invites inquiry and fosters conversation, and allows us to release some of what we've experienced. Regular shared mealtimes are beneficial for everyone, but kids particularly benefit from a set family dinner. The consistency and connection helps younger kids feel safe and seen, and supports older kids in meeting obligations. Dinner at 6 each night. Don't be late. Maintaining a consistent family dinner takes effort, though, so try to sit down together at least 3 nights a week. The meal itself doesn't have to be restaurant quality. Sometimes simply gathering around the table is enough. Give yourself permission to order takeout, ideally the healthiest you can find, on particularly busy or long days. How to make mealtime work. Host a potluck. You can get the benefits of eating together in deceptively simple ways. Gather a few friends or families once a week. Start with once a month, then increase frequency. Keep it fresh by creating fun but accessible food themes and encouraging friends to bring one new guest each time. Rotate who hosts so you don't always get stuck with the dishes. Make a commitment to a group or family meal several nights a week. Treat it like anything else that is an established part of your life, and you will soon create a habit. Your friends and family will, too. Trade perfectionism for connection. Don't worry about hitting some gourmet benchmark. Instead, focus on fresh, nourishing ingredients prepared simply. Go for one-pan or pot meals, like roasting meats and veggies on a cooking sheet, using a slow cooker for soups and stews, placing ingredients on cutting boards with dipping sauces, and give your attention to the people, not the kitchen. Share the responsibility. Eating together takes some preparation and clean-up time. Be sure to share the duties so they don't all fall on one person. Tasty, healthy meals take some planning, so delegate tasks to all involved. Even very young kids can pitch in by setting the table. View the entire meal, from shopping to clean-up, as a shared experience. Encourage everyone to participate, and make a commitment to set down all devices throughout the process. Take it outside. Eating in nature just feels so right, whether it's on your city fire escape, or in your local park, or your own backyard. Enlist your crew to dine al fresco. You can light up the barbecue, or pull together a simple and delicious picnic. Make it family style. Get everyone involved by serving big platters of food that must be passed around the table. Or add a DIY element to dinner with interactive build-your-own dishes like healthy pizza or burritos, with a variety of add-on toppings. Kids of all ages will run to the table. Seek out supper clubs. If you live alone, you can still dine with others. There are many exciting pop-ups happening around the country, where aspiring and established chefs cook for mixed groups of food lovers, outside of restaurant confines, including right on the farm, if you're in a rural area. Check out outstandinginthefield.com for a gourmet farm treat. Adventurous eaters can also gather through meetups to explore local dining scenes or a specific cuisine. And restaurants with communal tables can also bring individuals together. Cooking classes are another place where strangers gather around the cutting board to learn and eat together. Some quick internet research should give you some promising leads for these dining options. Starting to bring awareness not only to what you eat, but how and with whom you eat, is an essential aspect of a well-rounded and happy life. Touch and be touched. Have you been touched enough today? Likely you have not. We live in a touch-deficient society. Gestures of greeting between friends and acquaintances have become increasingly less physical. Family members spend greater amounts of time together but alone, absorbed in screen time or work. Sometimes it's just not clear how to show care or concern with touch. What's the proper protocol? But we shouldn't let these obstacles stall us, because we suffer from this lack of contact. It's been shown that infants who are deprived of touch are at higher risk for social, emotional, and physical problems later in life, and that consistent, loving touch leads to healthy brain development and the ability to sustain a robust sense of self. This need for physical affection doesn't change much just because you grow up. When you are touched by a reassuring hand, be it from a friend or loved one, a trusted health practitioner, or even an enthusiastic dance partner, it tells your body and brain that there is social support around you. Tension can release, stress levels drop, and the immune system gets a boost to protect you from everyday viruses like colds. A firm and meaningful hug is even more effective. First, because it creates a feeling of trust and safety and allows for open and honest interaction, supporting healthy relationships. Second, a good hug stimulates pressure receptors under your skin, which leads to a chain of events, including increased activity of the vagus nerve, a key component of the parasympathetic nervous system, which relaxes you. It also triggers the brain to release oxytocin, and this mood-enhancing bond-forming chemical, the key to early mother-baby attachment, also boosts your self-esteem and reduces anxiety and feelings of aloneness. By flooding you with relaxing and uplifting chemistry, a good hug can reconnect you to your feeling self, your emotional experience, which can be hard to access otherwise. You don't have to be in a physical relationship to get more bodily contact in your life. However, if you are in one or have a family, notice how often you and your loved ones connect through touch. It may be less than you think. How to make contact more often? Receive bodywork from a trusted practitioner, or if you prefer, energy work like acupuncture, where your body is gently cared for but not overly touched, and regularly practice self-massage. Get a manicure or pedicure. Join a dance class that involves touch, from traditional partner styles like salsa to more experimental contact dance. Practice thoughtful touch in conversation, like a hand on the arm to show you are listening deeply, or a hand on the back when someone is distressed. Commit to 5 meaningful hugs a day with your partner or family members, and see how it promotes harmony or helps smooth over discord. Invite physical play with your kids, piggyback rides, acrobatics and yoga, playful roughhousing. If you are a new parent, engage in baby wearing, breastfeeding, and or co-sleeping. Participate in a professionally guided cuddle party, cuddleparty.com, a safe, social, and non-sexual workshop oriented around healthy touch and communication. Take care of a pet. Learn how to give a massage and offer it to loved ones and friends. Try Acro Yoga, acroyoga.org, a liberating partner-based movement practice that connects you to others through touch and movement. And, of course, invite more intimacy and sex into your life. Hug etiquette. Respecting boundaries is essential when it comes to touch. Healthy touch that feels safe and respectful to each party involves awareness of personal space, plus giving and reading body language or verbal cues to ensure the recipient wants to receive. Make direct eye contact with your intended huggee. Offer physical cues such as outstretched arms. And if hugging isn't already part of your friendship repertoire, include verbal cues like, "Would you like a hug?" Kindness is a muscle you can start to flex and that grows the more you use it. Return to ritual. We hunger for both community and communion. The feelings found in the conscious practice of rituals, writes practical spirituality teacher Barbara Bijou. A longtime friend and colleague, and author of the book The Joy of Ritual, Barbara teaches how everyday occasions can be imbued with more meaning to help us make sense of the world, expand our awareness, and connect to the great mystery of life. Tea ceremonies were traditionally friendship rituals. A sweat lodge was a ritual of releasing and letting go, and rites of passage, from coming of age to marriage to grieving, have long been acknowledged through rituals that connect us to the deeper